Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. Hey, before we get back to the news of the day, I wanted to remind you that we have our Spiritual Heritage Tour dates set for 2020. And we have tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. And then we have Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, is a historian and noted author on history, and he will be with us. He'll be going everywhere with us to give talks, to answer questions, to put in context the people, the places, the times, and events, and also include our Christian heritage. So we have a lot of fun and eat good, too. So we're going in 2020 in June and September, as we always do, June and September, best weather months for the Mid-Atlantic there where we'll be. So if you want to go with us, we're already halfway full for June. But if you want to check out the dates and the prices and the itinerary and all that good information, you want a vacation with a purpose, so to speak, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Spiritualheritagetours.com. And my wife, Allison, and I will be hosting those tours. So we'd love to spend some time with you. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's been quite an interesting morning.
Yeah, what have you been doing all morning, Steve?
Oh, nothing much. I've been monitoring hearings on Capitol Hill. I've been putting sound clips together for us. I've been doing, it's been busy.
All right, what's leading the news?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things surrounding, but not directly involved with this impeachment hearing. You know, do you remember what the Democrats are charging the president with doing, with withholding money for political purposes from Ukraine?
The Latin expression is
quid pro quo.
Yes, uh-huh.
My good friend and colleague, a former colleague, Indiana Congressman Jim Banks, has an interesting theory. I'd like you to listen to what he has to say. I think this will be self-explanatory. Cut nine.
Speaker Pelosi in a press conference this morning admitted that she has held the USMCA hostage for an entire year for political reasons to time the USMCA vote with the impeachment vote that's going to happen here in just days. Now, let me tell you, my constituents in Indiana have been begging for USMCA since the president negotiated it with Canada and Mexico. And the fact that Speaker Pelosi admitted that she played politics with the timing of the USMCA coming to the floor for a vote is an absolute shame, and she should be held accountable for that. Speaker Pelosi has played politics not just with the impeachment sham, but with withholding the USMCA, a better trade deal for American workers as well.
She is guilty of withholding funds from the American people for political reasons.
Imagine that little tongue-in-cheek there. But seriously, you know, this USMCA has been agreed upon by the three countries, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. for months now, and it's just been sitting in the House of Representatives, not having a vote scheduled. Now, thankfully, it's going to have a vote, but, you know, the USMCA is...
Is that like the new NAFTA?
Exactly. It's a trade agreement between the three countries.
Yeah.
And it's going to, from what I hear, from a economic standpoint, it's going to be very good. It benefits the U.S. a little more from an incentive standpoint than the NAFTA, than the former trade agreement called NAFTA. And like it or not, this is what President Trump campaigned on, and he actually has been talking about how bad NAFTA is for over a decade now. Even when he was a businessman, he did interviews talking about how bad NAFTA is. So if we can get this through, talking about Congress and the president signs it, that is a huge victory in general for the country.
It is, and it's interesting that they chose to announce it just mere minutes after Nancy Pelosi stood at the podium saying, we are somber and charging this president with high crimes and misdemeanors. Minutes later, she said, we have a victory to announce. We have.
Well, you know, surprisingly, history shows that legislative activity actually spikes during impeachment. For the few impeachments that our country has had with Clinton and Nixon and now Trump and I think there was one other.
Johnson.
Legislative activity spikes, and I think it's because the parties, the impeachment party, wants to be viewed as still doing the people's work while they're also impeaching the president.
Yeah.
Well, ironic as it is.
Yeah, so I think that the theory out there is that the Democrats held this announcement on USMCA and doing this so that they could kind of cover up this sham of an impeachment that they know they sense is going downhill. And I mean, it took a huge downhill turn this morning with Inspector General Horowitz sitting in front of the Senate. Now, Democrats are trying to rehabilitate him, but Lindsey Graham, as you guys have already heard, was just devastating. This Democrats, I think, are starting to rue the day that
I just looking at these senators, I'm just wondering, 20 years from now, are we still going to have Dianne Feinstein on the committee asking, huh?
They seem to be, set in
Patrick
amber.
Patrick Leahy's 131.
I think he is. He's closer to 132.
I mean, I'm seeing the same people. Yeah. I'm seeing the same people I saw from the Clarence Thomas hearings, back in the day.
And I think that's symbolic to a certain extent of what's wrong with Washington.
Yeah.
Or it's telling, if you will, because I don't think our founding fathers intended for
career politicians
to be there 30 and 40 years,
I agree.
Back during the founding days, you had farmers, you had businessmen who were serving in our government, and they served for a handful of years and then did other things.
I think our country would be much healthier with term limits.
There's a debate that goes back and forth.
Well, let me tell you why. Now, that's never going to happen. I say never. Not in my lifetime.
I agree.
Term limits, while they would be good on balance for our country, are not going to happen. So I'm really talking about a theory here. I realize that. Because people will tell me, well, you do have term limits. It's called elections. People can be voted out. That's true, but that's not factoring in the real advantages that incumbents have in terms of the incumbents in a federal government can use. I'm going to get Christmas cards from all the sitting representatives of mine. And guess who those Christmas cards are going to be paid for? By me.
Right.
from and that's fine. I like getting those. I'm just saying that's a goodwill gesture that may helps build the support base for whoever that candidate is or that politician is.
Yeah.
So I do think experience counts for something and shouldn't be just dismissed. So I don't think we need quick turnover necessarily in our federal government, in Congress and Senate, in the Senate, in the House and in the Senate. But if you had something, there's a reason the President of the United States only has two terms.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that same reason should apply to Congress. So that if whatever the term limit is that you want to put on congressman, let's say a House of Representatives member, you want to say can serve five terms.
That's 10 years.
That's 10 years. And you want to say a United States senator can serve two terms.
That would be
12 years.
12 years, yeah.
12 years. Okay, I think why is that not enough?
The flip side of that, I think, is if you recall back in the 1700s, 1800s, William Wilberforce fought for 50 years in the English House, English Parliament, before he was able to get the traction needed to do away with slavery. Some things take a long time.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a one-off.
There's pros. Well, there's really pros to both But I think the cons outweigh the negative effects of no term limits outweigh the possible positive effects that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what happens in any institution is if you know you're pretty much there forever, well, you're not accountable anymore.
Yeah,
you're really not, and your motivation for doing things,
yeah. Yeah, and one of the major problems are, some might not call it a problem, but you know, the longer you're in Congress or in the Senate, the higher you advance when it comes to committees.
Right.
And when you start running a committee that handles the money, and your state is getting millions, sometimes billions.
That's how it works, though.
In federal government subsidies and grants, etc., then you have a stranglehold on that state when it comes to money.
Maybe one day we will see term limits. I don't think it'll be in my lifetime, but by term limits on House of Representative members and on Senate members, I think something. Well, you could say 15 years, mm-hmm. 20 years, whatever you want to say, but there's a principle that's not that we have that think about a church committee.
Right.
Well, people rotate off, don't they?
Yeah, in most, yeah.
Most, they rotate. They're not there. Most every club I know, you have board members. Well, the board members rotate. They serve their term, and then they rotate off. Why do you do that? What's the principle behind that? Is to keep somebody from building up a power base. And it's also to, to hold them more
accountable.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the same principle that's not applied to Congress. There is no, term limit of how long they can serve.
Yeah.
And I think there should be, but there won't be. So I don't know why I spent 5 minutes on it.
No, it's...
But President, was it President Roosevelt?
Six terms.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Four terms.
And after that, our country decided that's not good. We don't need somebody. Well, the argument would have been we have a term limit. Either the American people elect him or they don't. Well, the Congress decided, was the Congress. It is a constitutional amendment.
Yes, term limits is mentioned for the president.
Two terms for the president.
Yes.
We decided as a country, 8 years is enough for one man to be in power. So. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
All right, next up, Fred. I mean, Steve.
You can call me Fred. It's an honor.
You can call me Tom. It doesn't bother me. Don't call me late for dinner.
Right. A bunch of pastors and worship leaders went to the Oval Office last week as President Trump was getting into the meat of this impeachment. They were getting into it against him. And these prominent Christian pastors and worship leaders prayed over the president in the Oval Office for about an hour. 50 worship leaders from across America went, said all 50 of them crammed into the Oval Office, one of them said, and they prayed for the president as he was getting ready to do this. I got to tell you, Mr. Trump seems built for this. I don't know of anybody else that – did you guys talk about his campaign stop?
We have not covered that yet.
Let me just play you a little bit of this. I wanted you to hear a little bit of how President Trump was handling the crowd in Pennsylvania last night. This is cut 11. He's talking about, just listen to how up he sounds.
We are so hot. We are so hot. And just a few weeks ago, the United States Special Forces brought the world's number one terrorist to justice. Thanks to the strength and courage of our warriors, and they are great warriors, the bloodthirsty savage known as al-Baghdadi is now dead. And he was quickly replaced by his second in command, and his second in command is now dead.
He's taking a victory tour.
Where was the president speaking?
In Pennsylvania.
Last night?
Last night in Pennsylvania. And he was in rare form. Let me just play a little bit.
What's one rare other... form for Donald Trump?
Well, this whole
he seemed
battle,
a little more more energetic.
Energized,
and he's already an energetic guy.
He really is. But this I think just gave him a little bit more of a push. I'm trying to find the one that Fred had. Do you remember what number that was, Brent? No, that's no. This is we can do that one. Let's do that one. Let's do 10. This is him. This is something that he's done. I heard him do this when he came and visited Tupelo.
Peter Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. Remember? Lisa, I love you so much. Lisa, please. Lisa, I've never loved anyone like you. We won't allow this to happen to our club. Peter, I love you. And if for any reason she loses, even though she's a stone-cold, corrupt person, if for any reason she loses, Peter, we've got to have an insurance policy. We have to do it.
There you have it.
He just.
I got to tell you, as a sarcastic mocker, he's one of the best.
He is.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
And
he's very listenable.
He's good with coming up with names.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But he's describing the text, which is true.
Yeah.
between the FBI agents who were out to save the country from Donald Trump, and so you can see why he would mock, because it's like he's a major league hitter and somebody put about ball on a tee.
Yeah.
For him when he gets in that environment.
It's true.
He thrives.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
A federal judge has blocked the use of billions of dollars that the Pentagon was going to contribute towards building a border wall.
Mm-hmm.
This is Judge David Briones of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas. And he said,
what did he say, Steve?
He says that you cannot use the money, that the money can't be put over from
Department of Defense.
Department of Defense. He said the president's emergency plot. Well, this is actually the lawyers on the other side said the president's emergency proclamation was a blatant attempt to grab power from Congress. Today's order affirms that the president is not a king and that our courts are willing to check him when he oversteps his bounds. This was the Council for Protect Democracy, one of the groups that was bringing the lawsuit to try to stop this.
Okay, so that'll be appealed by the Trump administration on up to the Supreme Court.
That's
where that'll go.
Yeah.
Okay, what else you got?
The Media Research Center is filing a complaint with the Federal Elections Commission against Bloomberg News. Bloomberg News, you may remember, said, we are not going to do any investigations of our founder, Michael Bloomberg, nor are we going to do any investigations of his Democratic opponents. We are going to continue to just nail and hammer on President Donald Trump. Well, MRC, Media Research Center, thought, you know, that's a campaign contribution, an illegal one at that. I want you to hear what one of their spokespersons, whose name I will bring up when I hear his voice, what he had to say.
The actual laws actually say that if facilities owned or controlled by any political party, political committee, or candidate, and fails to give reasonably equal coverage to all opposing candidates. I mean, that is the way the FEC law is written. So, I mean, in this case, you have a media organization that is owned by one of the candidates, and it's explicitly said that they are not going to be giving fair coverage. So, I mean, it seems like it meets the definition to a T.
That's Scott Whitlock from Media Research Center.
Well, tell me what news agency does give fair treatment to President Trump.
I asked him that, and it's a fair point.
Yeah. It is. What makes this a little bit different is that Bloomberg has officially announced on the record that they will not cover any or investigate, do any investigative journalism on any Democrat candidate.
Not just Bloomberg.
Not just Bloomberg, and they will continue to investigate Donald J. Trump. That's their official policy on the record.
Is that illegal, though?
I don't know.
If you own... So the Media Research Center, they're our friends, by the way, Brent Bozell and that group. If you own a news agency like Michael Bloomberg does, he's a CEO, right?
He is.
He's the owner. I mean, he's the top dog.
Yeah.
And he owns it. the real world is, you really think they're going to be investigating him anyway?
I kind of get that, but the fact that they said that they weren't even going to look into his Democrat opponents, they have announced.
Well, now that is different. That's a step beyond.
You really can't have it. It either has to be all or nothing. You either need to just say, we're going to continue to investigate whoever, whatever, or we're staying out of the 2020 election, which we know they're not going to do.
Right.
Because it's ratings. It's readership.
Yeah. We know it's baked in with the American public. I think most people understand this. The mainstream news media are 90% liberal.
Yeah.
/ progressive. And, it's kind of like we all know that the vast majority of professors on campuses across America are liberal / progressives.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Bloomberg, he owns his, and it's a pretty big news agency. It's probably, in terms of its reach, it's probably top 10 in the U.S.
It is big.
And it's a big deal. So, but I can understand them saying we're not going to investigate our boss who signed our checks.
Yeah.
But to say they're not going to investigate any Democrats at all, and that's embarrassing for those journalists at Bloomberg because, huh?
Yeah.
And I think they've said as much, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, to publicly say we're not going to look into any Democrats,
right?
I mean, from a news agency, that's bizarre.
All right, next story, Steve.
We've got
a minute and a half.
All right, let's do this. I have just become a Nick Foles fan. I want you to listen to something that he did the other day. This is after sustaining an injury. This is a press conference that he gave.
He's a quarterback.
Quarterback.
Right, in the NFL.
With the Jaguars.
I know you're a man of faith, and I know you're trying, but you're also human. I mean, ever any doubts coming up in your mind as you go through that, or?
No, that's where, right when I felt this thing break and I was going into the locker room, I just realized, God, this wasn't exactly what I was thinking when I came to Jacksonville. Obviously, you come here and you want to create a culture and impact people. But at the end of the day, God, if this is the journey you want me to go on, I'm going to glorify you in every action, good or bad. And, I still could have joy in an injury. And that's people hear that and say, that's crazy. But it's like when you believe in Jesus and you go out there and you play, and that changes your heart. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe if you read the word of God and you understand it, there's trials along the way, but they equip your heart to be who you are. So when I step on the field, I'm going against a man in Frank Reich who's very similar. He's a guy that I admire more than anything. He's a guy that has impacted my life so much, and he's going to be on the opposing sideline. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, so that's Nick Foles, a very, very outspoken Christian.
Encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's injured he may still be out.
They've got a salary cap problem with him as well. So
that's NFL quarterback Nick Foles for the Jaguars. I have a good friend who's a good friend of his. I don't know if there's any connection to Kevin Bacon or not, but
probably
somewhere somewhere down the line there is. You don't know what that joke's about. I don't have time to explain it to you.
Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Look it up.
Maybe tomorrow. That sounds like a heavy metal band. All right. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.